Hello again. It's the Eurobash podcast with Peter Carroll and Noel McGrath. This is episode 44 of this sweet, sweet, beautiful music we give you every week. Noel, how are you, darling?
Boom.
Listen to that. He's grumbly. How are you feeling,
good.
Darling?
Good, man. Not bad. Not bad. You?
I'm fantastic.
Looking pretty.
Thanks very much. I'm in my shorts. It's very warm out here.
It is warm, isn't it?
It's sticky.
It is sticky. I've a sticky. I won't even say it.
But it's very, very moist. And it's been quite a weekend of fights. We had some big results. We had Jermaine Durandamy, who will be joined by later in the podcast, getting that 16-second finish of Aspen Ladd. Quite controversial. We'll talk about that later. But our boy, the Bosnian Beast, didn't make it happen. It was Josh Emmett's night on the night. But how are you, first of all? I mean, you've given me quite a lo-fi start, and I feel like I want more from you. What the hell's going on here?
I was just laughing at you there, some of your choice words that you use for us. But yeah, no, I'm good. I've been messing around. I've been doing fuck all night today. I've been off. So
you deserve a day off every now and again.
I've literally been messing around with that fucking app, the old age app.
Oh, yeah,
putting
yeah.
up some bangers on my Instagram. So good crack and ruining the lads, wrecking all the lads' heads today. So yeah, getting one back over in the on the young boyish. But yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good, man. I really can't complain. Great day of cricket yesterday.
Yeah, nobody watched that, mate.
I did.
We can talk about that in the shite section at the end of the podcast, but
Yeah, all right, okay. No, the fights were good. Good weekend. Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah.
Big night as well at Beltar 224. We'll talk about all the Irish action that unfolded, of course. Olga Rubin came up short to Julia Budd in the main event, dropped her with a body shot and finished it off sharpish. Good fights in Tackerville, though. Let's have a look at the news headlines, first of all. We have had plenty of additions to the UFC Copenhagen card. We have Ian Kuti Laba taking on Khalil Rountree. That's quite a lovely fight to be put on that card, I believe. Alessio De Chirico versus Peter Sabata. That's an all-European fight. Of course, Alessio from Italy and Peter from Germany. We have Ovin St. Preux versus Michael Oleanchuk. That's a huge fight for Oleanchuk. Big name coming to Copenhagen to fight him. And Macy Chyson versus Lena Landsberg has also been announced that card. Yeah. Bellator Dublin, a few fights announced for that as well. Paul Redman v. Brandon Gertz. Brian Moore v. Toby Misic. Liam McCourt v. Kerry Hughes. And Danny Nelson will also make her professional debut on the card against Camilla Rivarola. Also, a lot of Bellator news this week. The brackets were announced earlier on Errol Hawani's MMA show over on ESPN.
Two Europeans.
Yeah, is there not more? Let's just have a quick look through.
Saul Pedro.
Daniel Strauss v. Derek Campos. Pat Curran v. Adam Boric from Hungary. Emmanuel Sanchez v. Tywin Claxton. Sam Cecilia v. Pedro Carvalho from Portugal. Darian Caldwell v. Henry Corrales. Daniel Voigtel from Germany v. Saul Rogers from Great Britain. AJ McKee v. Georgi Karakian from Russia. And yeah, that's a lot. Of course, Archuleta and Pitbull are going to kick it off. Yeah, there's quite a presence there. I was surprised to see that Brendan Loughnane wasn't there. I don't know. I just had a feeling. He's been toying with emotions aplenty on social media. He retweeted me having a bit of a rant about this and who they should add to that featherweight bracket just last week. I was saying, you know, Pedro, him and Artem would be huge additions, but as we can see, as you just said, there is a lot of European action already on there.
Yeah, it's disappointing, Brennan, but I think Brennan is still at a stalemate with a lot of the offers that have sort of come in. That's the word I'm getting,
right?
And that, you know, he's not willing to sort of take away the stock that he sort of built up in the last number of weeks, and rightly so. Listen, Brennan should have been signed, as we've always talked about, a long, long time ago, and he's every right to sit out if he doesn't feel, you know, the offers aren't right. So, props to Brennan.
I like a lot of these matches. I think Pedro Carvalho would be very confident going in against Sam Cecilia.
Yeah, definitely. Sam's been a bit checkered.
Yeah, and Adam Boric v. Pat Curran, like, I feel like that's a real young take in the old.
Passing the guard, yeah. Definitely.
You know, Georgi Karakian v. AJ McKee. I think McKee is going to be confident going into that one. Daniel Voigtel and Saul Rogers is a
really
serious
good fight.
That's
man.
A high level fight, my
really
God.
Really good fight.
You know, anyone sticking out to you? Do you think anyone that can topple Pitbull here? Like,
I think people are looking.
AJ is very good.
No, AJ, that performance against Pat Curran was fantastic. You know, real technical performance. Went in there, went to the distance with him, put on a really, really good show. And he got a bit of stick for that, and I couldn't believe it. He was the
first. You need those 15 minutes.
That's what I mean. You need those fights. They stand to you in the long run. I think the fact, as well, he was the first guy to take down Pat Curran or some man.
I've taken him down a few times.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, listen, you need those fights. And, you know, for me, if I'm looking on that paper, it is a really, really tough one to call. Who's going to go and take it? Like, we have the likes of Archuleta as well, who's fantastic.
I think that's a tough first match for Pitbull, yeah, man. I think he's right up there. Like, I mean, I think he's advertising as he's right there, 35, yeah, right there, 45, yeah, and right there, 55.
Big time.
Like, I mean, that could be a huge spanner in the works earlier on. Like, I mean, there is definitely easier fights that could have been made for his first fight in the bracket.
Yeah, you got to look at Emmanuel Sanchez as well, you know, coming off a couple of wins since he obviously lost that fight to Pitbull. And, you know, another really good fighter that's there, obviously, with Duke and the lads there. You have, obviously, Pedro Carvalho. You have Daniel Strauss, who looks so good in his comeback
Darren
fight.
Darren Caldwell coming up after losing the 135 title. It's a serious bracket.
It's Bellator's best ever bracket, in my opinion, they've ever put on in terms of actual competitiveness.
And 16 man as well. Usually it's 8. So that'll show you the wealth of talent they have there.
It shows their division is so deep, and it really is. It is their best division, I think.
So brilliant bracket there. Really impressed with that. Would have liked to see Brendan. I'm not going to cry about that.
Hopefully we're going to be able to watch it.
Bader v Congo is going to go down at Bellator 226 in September. That'd be a big one for the Frenchman. The heavyweight title, of course, on the line. Andre Khoryshev v Lorenz Larkin is going to happen at Bellator 229 in October. And also, I've had news from Cage Warriors champion James Webb. A lot of you will remember the Tombstone Piledriver. He was unfortunately on the end of
and the pedigree.
Yeah, but he's had his shoulders in a bad way.
All right.
Unfortunately, he's out of action for the next 6 weeks. We know James, how much he loves this game, how much he just wants to be on the mats all the time. So I'm sure that's going to be killing him.
Is he getting surgery?
I don't think they can tell yet. But 6 weeks nonetheless, and you know, in fairness, 6 weeks would kind of get us to August. So, you know, he's looking to fight November, so hopefully it won't have too much of an impact and he won't have too much niggling damage. But, you know, that was always going to happen. I know we have a laugh about these things. You know, they can look spectacular and outrageous at the time, but he's taking the brunt of that damage. Like, I mean, after that fight, he could barely move his neck.
Yeah, you could see in the, you know, the post-fight interview when his hand, he was sort of crouching down his shoulder.
Yeah, the belt on his shoulder. Yeah. So, yeah, disappointing to hear that he has suffered an injury there. Not all that surprising when you consider the impact, to be honest. And to be honest, it's all going to sell very well if they do that rematch down the line. You know, all this stuff is going to be worked into the detail. Looking forward to seeing when James can get back in there. And I think Natoya Frederick is the obvious choice. You know, they have to do that rematch, really.
Man, I'd like to see his corner demeanor improve a little bit.
Frederick.
He was bad, man. Yeah,
I don't like seeing a ref being talked to the way he was with Mark that day. But nonetheless,
referees. I'm sure we'll have a rant about them later on, will we?
Who?
We'll have a bit of a rant about some refereeing decisions.
Yes, there will be a plenty. Yeah. First of all, we have got the star of the weekend, Jermaine Durandamy, who...
I thought I was the star of the weekend.
Well, you're the star of every weekend in my life. I'm just talking about the broader cultural awareness in the MMA circles. But a big win for Europe, as I said at the top of the show. Jermaine now is on a five-fight win streak, I believe. Obviously, had that featherweight crown taken off her. She wasn't able to defend it, so the UFC dethroned her, I suppose.
She's got a lot of stick still from that.
Still. Like, it's like, it's, I mean, what do you have to do? Like, I mean, I felt as though people were directing the boos at Jermaine instead of Herb Dean at the weekend. You know what I mean? Like, it nearly feels as though...
They were, because I think she's always, like, that's one of those things, I think, you know, I don't think it, but I think a lot of the fans think it when they think of Jermaine Durandamy, the first ever featherweight champion that got belt away from inactivity, and she didn't really come out with a reason.
Hand injury, right?
Yeah, it was a hand injury at the end.
I can fully understand someone not wanting to fight Chris Cyborg with 50% of your arsenal, you know?
100%, but I think that's what some of the boos were probably aimed at the weekend, and it is sad to see. She's never, you know, backed down from anyone. Like, sure, she's fought, as you spoke to her about, you know, Nunes.
But she's also fought a man. She knocked out a man out cold in a fight as well.
I'm sure she's not that many a man inspiring. Like, I wouldn't go near any of these ladies. So yeah, it's disappointing to see that. I think there is a lack of respect sometimes for European fighters when they're on US shows. I think that is in the broader world of MMA as well in certain areas. But yeah, it's sad to see. But I'm sure she's going to go in there and prove a lot of people wrong.
I feel like this is the road to redemption, you know what I mean? And it feels like it was taken away from her because of that stoppage at the weekend, obviously. But
I think another thing, you know, you've touched on with her last week, or did we have her on last week? She on the show?
No,
like 2 weeks
she wasn't
ago?
Last week. It was I interviewed her for MMA Fighting.
All right, yeah, sorry. I beg your pardon. But I think her attitude is so
amazing.
Different. It's so different. It's a little bit like maybe, as we always speak about with Joanne Calderwood.
Yeah. found this positivity.
Yeah, maybe she was a little bit shy, didn't want to redo the media stuff, and she's so positive now. Everything's positive. There's nothing negative, and I think that is really what maybe she's warmed herself up maybe to a lot of people.
I text you immediately after I got off the phone with her.
Yeah, and you said she's going
to
win.
I said, I just have a feeling she's going to win. I said, when I talked to her, I've never heard her in such a good state of mind. She seems just really happy. Like, I mean, she was genuinely just buzzing on the phone, having a laugh.
And I tell you what, man, it massively changes your mind when you're talking, especially if you speak to two fighters before a fight.
Yes.
The positivity, if they've got an aura about them, you can tell a lot sometimes.
Yeah, it's palpable, definitely.
And it is. And I actually took your advice and I sort of went, it changed my mind in terms of when I was watching the fight and I saw Aspen Ladd, especially the weigh-in. She's obviously had a load of problems in the past with weighing in.
We'll talk about that more later.
Yeah. She's not going to be 35 for much longer, in my opinion.
But she's not doing herself any services fighting like that, I don't think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But want to get to?
Yes. Well, finally, let's talk to the Iron Lady herself. On a 5-fight win streak, I believe she's number one contender to the Bantamweight crown at the moment. I would love to see that rematch with Amanda Nunes. That's a fight that would be very interesting based on their previous matchup and based on the fact that Amanda Nunes is known as this fantastic puncher. She is a fantastic puncher. There's absolutely no doubt about it. She immediately went to take Jermaine down to the ground, so I think that's an interesting element in itself. But we're going to speak to the Iron Lady now and we'll be back in about 15 minutes. Absolute pleasure to speak to her, and I want to underline that she went out of her way to speak to the Eurobash listeners today, so I really appreciate that. All the best. We'll talk to you soon. And now, finally, we are joined by the Iron Lady, who took just 16 seconds to dispatch Aspen Ladd at the weekend in somewhat controversial circumstances, but we aren't going to rain the parade right now. Finally, it is Jermaine Durandamy. Jermaine, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
How do you feel? I believe you're already back in Holland. I mean, this must have been a crazy roller coaster for the last day or so.
It's been a roller coaster. It absolutely has been. But I feel amazing. I'm in great spirits. So I couldn't wish to be in a better place.
You know, this is going to sound funny to you, but after I spoke to you on Thursday, I believe it was, before the fight, I was very confident. I just got a feeling that you're in such a positive place, that you seemed to be so happy that it was going to have fantastic ramifications on your performance. And my word, is that how you felt going into this fight? Like, I mean, did you feel like in a completely different place than you have been before?
To be honest, I felt something this time different than I've ever felt before. When I was in the dressing room, when I started to warm up, I started so sharp that my coaches said, okay, slow down. We're going to take a little bit of time because we don't want to go over it. And I felt so on point. It's crazy. It's like I knew when I stepped in there and when I was walking out, during my walkout, I turned to my coach and I looked him in the face and we smiled at each other. And he said to me, it's your moment. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And I felt this was going to be my moment. I didn't expect it to be 16 seconds, but I knew it was going to be my moment.
Yes, and I mean, that punch you hit, Aspen, we'll get to the stoppage and everything in a second, but the punch you hit, Aspen, it was without a doubt one of the most perfect punches we've seen. I mean, when you connected with this shot, how did you feel? Did you know it was a good one as soon as you felt the connect?
Yeah, I, to be honest, if you see it, when I threw the jab, I stepped a little to the outside towards her right side, so I would slip her punch, and that mean that my hand would land straight flush on the chin. You know, in dreams and in practice, you visualize this, you know, and when you visualize a fight, you visualize throwing that hand. But, you know, barely never, it's this perfect, how it landed. And it landed, and I'm like, she's down. If you see in the fight, I hesitate for a second. I'm like, she's down. And then I realized, okay, jump on it.
It was, and I mean, let's be honest, Aspen Ladd's reaction was quite delayed as well. Like, I mean, as far as people talking about this stoppage, a lot of criticism for Herb Dean and the referee. But, I mean, after the punch is delivered, you can see that Aspen is clearly trying to work out whereabouts she is in the cage nearly. I mean, she seems to be trying to find her bearings. What was your impression of Aspen's state after she hit that shot? I know it's very, very quick. We're talking simply seconds. But I mean, what did you note from her after you hit her just before Herb Dean stepped in to stop the action?
You know, at that point, you become, it's like you become a hunter, you know, and you just want to finish. So I've said it before, you know, I respect Espen so much. I have so much respect for her. But at that point, I became the hunter. So I was going to jump on, if Herb didn't jump in, I was going to jump on top of her and try to finish the fight anyway. Mm. You know, I mean, in my opinion, she was rocked. And she was looking, okay, what just happened? And then I was going to attack again. So I hit her once, and then her pulled me off, or pushed me to the side. So I was going to jump on that moment. I was planning on jumping on it and finishing the fight. But at the same time, I also say, you know, Espen is still very young. She has a bright future ahead of her. She's a warrior. But why take more damage than necessary, right?
Absolutely.
If you look at our training camps, every day we take damage, basically, you know, to our head. Is it in sparring? And I'm not saying we're sparring every day, but is it in sparring? Is it in grappling? If it's wrestling, you know, if somebody shoots and somebody shoves the takedown, your head might hit their hip. You know, you take a lot of damage to the head. Why take more damage? It's not necessary at sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. How do you feel like having watched the fight back? Do you have any feelings about the stoppage? Do you think it was early, or do you think it was fine, or how do you feel about it?
Like I said, in my personal opinion, I think it was a good stoppage. I saw that Herb was watching her. I saw her react a little bit slow after the punch. I believe I was going to finish the fight there and then. So, like I said, there's no need to take more damage.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I was very disappointed by the reaction of the Sacramento crowd. This was, you know, even if they didn't like the stoppage, like there was a lot of boos and stuff. And, you know, for us in Europe, we want to see you get cheered. We want to see people, you know, celebrating with you a big win like this. I mean, after so much stuff going on, is it hard to take that? Like, you know, something that's completely out of your control and people are kind of booing as you get your hand raised. I didn't really like that.
No, of course, it's never fun because you go in there and you come and entertain the fans, you know, but I understand partially too, you know, Espen is from, close to Sacramento, the crowd was on her side, it's never fun to see your fighter getting knocked out or TKO'd after 16 seconds, it's never fun, so partially I understand. And at the same time, I'm like, you know, I remember when Anna Elmos came to Rotterdam and Bruce Buffer announced her, you know, the crowd was still cheering. So yes. I'm like, you know, but at the same time, I understand. I truly do. I mean, you know, it's fighting and they love Espen and they have every right to love her. And she is a great athlete and a great sportswoman.
Absolutely, yeah, and I mean the footage of Espen weighing in the day before has gained a lot of traction. You know, she didn't look well. People like me from the media, we were kind of going, you know, is this lady fit to fight tomorrow night? Obviously, the doctors have cleared her and she was allowed to get in there. But was at any stage were you worried that the fight might be called off? Did you see her around that time and wonder if maybe this fight could be called?
I haven't seen her. My team told me she wasn't doing very well at weigh-ins. They didn't show me the video. My team didn't want me to worry or anything, you know. If the fight was being canceled, you know, to be honest, I would have accepted that. You know, it's never fun because you prepare yourself for a fight. But at the same time, fighting is all fun and stuff. But your health goes above all. You know, she's so young. We're all so young. We all have a whole life in front of us left, you know, and your health is the most important thing. There are people that love you, cherish you, and they want you to come home safely and healthy. So, you know, you shouldn't take any risk concerning your health, I believe. No fighter should. So if it was going to be stopped or not, you know, it wasn't going to get through, I would have. You know, it would have been sad, but I would have accepted it. Because for me, Espen's health, as also as mine and all the other fighters on the card or around the world, our health is just one of the most important thing.
someone like you, so experienced in kickboxing, and you fought the very best there is in MMA. Did you have any words with Aspen afterwards? Did you get a time to have a quick chat with her after the fight, or was she taken away?
No. I don't know if she's been taken away. I haven't seen her after the fight. I did tell her in the cage, you know, keep your head up, man. You're the future. You're going to be a future champion, without any doubt. And it was an honor to fight her. And, you know, she will be back strong. And I asked her, please keep your head up. Just keep your head up.
Well, that's really cool of you, I have to say. I have to say as well, after the fight, I was very disappointed with some of the reaction that was coming across from across the pond. A lot of people saying things like, will Jermaine accept the fight if she's offered to fight Amanda Nunes? I mean, this for me is ridiculous. You've already fought Amanda Nunes. You've fought nearly 50 fights in your kickboxing career. I mean, why are people even questioning this at this stage? I mean, have you seen that? And of course, I know if the fight presents itself with Amanda, you'll be happy to take it, but you're not going to cause a big fuss about it, right? That's what we talked about before.
No, of course not. I've heard, so when I landed in Holland, I got a video, somebody sent me a video, a couple of people sent me a video of a video that Jill Sonnen did. So earlier on, I told on Ariel Helwani's show, you know, I gave answer to the question Jill had, because I think Jill started it, and he wanted to know if I would accept a fight with Amanda. Of course I would accept a fight with Amanda. Of course. Everybody knows, you know, it would be an honor to step in the cage with such a great champion, and it would be an honor to try and get my redeem.
Absolutely, and I remember that matchup very well, and I can remember one of the things that sticks out in my head. Everybody looks at Amanda like, and she is a fantastic puncher, an amazing knockout artist. But she wasted no time taking you to the ground. Like, I mean, I do think it is a different thing when people are being hit by Jermaine Durandamy, I must say. I mean, what do you remember from that fight with Amanda?
I remember the same thing. I remember the same thing. But, you know, and that's the fun thing, you know. I'm not that fighter anymore. And Amanda is not that fighter anymore, too. So I believe this is going to be a way different fight. And I'm not that easy to take down anymore. In that fight, it was easy to take down. But now I'm not that easy to take down anymore, you know. And I know Amanda believes, you know, she's a great champion. So I believe this would be a great matchup.
Yes, and I mean, this is the only person who has ever defeated you in the UFC. I mean, that must add to the storyline. It certainly does for me, anyway.
Yeah, for me too.
What have you thought of Amanda's run? I mean, it's been pretty amazing, hasn't it?
Yeah, man, I got the utmost respect. I just said it the other day. There's no doubt she is a true champion. And she is absolutely one of the best ever.
Absolutely.
But everybody is beatable. I keep saying that.
And you keep proving it as well, Jermaine.
That's true.
I got to ask, because as you know, this is a European MMA show, and there's going to be a lot of fans wondering, when could we possibly see Jermaine fighting in Europe again? This is something you talked to me about on Thursday. This is something you really want to do. But I mean, is the fact that you are number one contender now, as far as I'm concerned, that probably means that the next fight is going to be in the US if it can come together, right?
I don't know. You know, I really don't know what the UFC wants to do. I haven't spoke to them. I know Amanda wants to defend her 145 belt first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm 35 years old, so I don't want to sit and wait. So if she wants to defend her 45 belt first, I'm going to fight a fight in between. Absolutely. And, you know, I take all the risks. I mean, if I want to be a champion one day again, you know, or going to be a champion one day again, you can, you know, you got to fight. So I'm going to keep fighting.
It's kind of silly, though, isn't it? People saying that you're afraid to fight. You fought men. You've knocked out men, for Christ's sake. What else do you need to do? It's annoying me.
Don't worry about it too much, you know. Smile. Okay. Just smile, because smiling is your favorite.
Well, Jermaine, thank you so much for this. It's an absolute pleasure to speak to you again. And I just want to say, for all the fans listening, Jermaine went out of her way to speak to us today so she could get a word out to the European fans. So we really appreciate that, Jermaine.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Can't wait to see you back in there. I hope it's a big fight. I hope it's the fight you're looking for. And it was a pleasure, as always.
Thank you so much.
All the best, Jermaine.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And there she was, the Iron Lady. Fantastic to speak to Jermaine. Just got off a plane, did lots of media, and still had time for us. I always respect that. Big fan of Jermaine's.
Yep, Holland.
Can't wait to see what the next move is really now, man, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's the fight that's going to make sense. You know,
like, I mean, like, Jermaine's being very kind to Amanda. She obviously has a lot of respect for her. She's saying, you know, Amanda has said she wants the 45 title next to do that. Obviously, Cyborg has a fight booked, but her contract situation is up in the air. I feel like, why not just go ahead with the 35ers, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, do
it. Like, this is the way to go. Why not just stick it on the Copenhagen catcher? Why not?
chances are.
Don't think that's going to happen. But, right, let's get to it. We talked to Jermaine about it. You already heard Jermaine's take on it. Herb Dean, what do you have to say about Herb Dean at
shocking.
This stage?
Listen,
he's had a bad run.
He's had a bad couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
He really has. I think we go back as far as even was it the Frankie Edgar fight against who did Frankie fight when he stopped it? Maybe it's Max Holloway. I'll think the fight in a minute. But he's had a bad run of decisions. Again on Saturday night, you know. Just look at it, like, it's not a stoppage in my eyes. I think everyone sort of agreed that it was a bad stoppage. He's taken one really big shot. He's gone down. He didn't look as though he was out whatsoever.
Gee, are we talking about Aspen Ladder? Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. You know what I mean. Sorry. She got a big shot and she went down and it was just... It was one shot. Like, there was nothing to suggest that she was out at all.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't, like, I know what you mean, as in when he's stopping the fight, she's turning over onto her back and she's hooking the legs, ready to get a sweep in. But I think the job is, right, you get hit. She's obviously having a big reaction to getting hit. She's looking, she has no eyes on Jermaine, nothing. At that stage, you're going to have to take a quick look, but I think he didn't get to see her properly, and he was already stopping Jermaine. She tries to land that big left hand and he's already pushing her off. Surely he should be having a look at her face and seeing where her eyes are at and stuff like this.
Yeah, it was a little sloppy, like, he was
no, she's fully aware by the time the
was Jermaine's his positioning poor,
and I don't know, like, I feel like we can see clearly as she's turning over and she's trying to get the hook sweep with her legs that she's still there. But yeah, I don't think you can disagree. Like, if someone's awake after the situation, you kind of have to say it. Same as Robbie Lawler and Ben Askren when he had that. Like, it's very hard to say, oh, it's a rightful stoppage when the person's clearly conscious and trying to fight as they're stopping the fight.
Yeah, I think I just think it was a shotgun decision. You know, maybe his positioning was bad. I'm not sure. I'd like to know what sort of other referees thought of his positioning. Maybe someone like Mark Goddard or something like that. It'd be very interesting to see. But I just thought he jumped the gun way too quick. And you've got to give, especially in a fight, it's a main event. And I know people, you know, we referee every fight the same. They don't. Like, just subconsciously, you know, it's a title fight. Not a title fight.
On that topic,
it's a big, big fight and it's the main event.
On that topic, do you believe, because I was thinking about it right up until the shot lands, and right as it lands, I'm thinking about that girl's weight cut and the situation 100%. She's in. Is there any way, do you think, that Herb Dean could be factoring that in and he's seeing this girl who was shaking and cramping? And
maybe.
Obviously maybe. Can't. She can barely stand up. She could barely lift her arms.
Maybe, man. She shouldn't. I've said this for a while now and I tweeted out on Friday. You know, she's had a lot of issues with weight. She's pulled out of fights, you know, on a Friday night. I think it's Holly Holm. She pulled out of the fight on the Friday night or a few minutes beforehand or whatever it was. And it was due to illness from, obviously, I would imagine, the weight cut. Her immune system so low that she's picking up bugs and all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, like, this is not the first time she's missed weight before in the UFC. She's pulled out of a fight. She'd issues at Invicta. I remember watching Invicta. She'd issues getting to 135. They're going to have to, her team or herself are going to have to do something about this, because you can't be putting a girl out there who's such good potential like Aspen Ladd, and to see, yeah, obviously, you know, Herb shouldn't have stopped the fight, but putting her in the octagon, in the cage, at her best ability, and she's not been given that opportunity at the moment. Whether that's to move to 45, which it probably is, I don't know if she's big enough for 45, in my opinion. I think, like, the likes of Amanda Nunes would start her. It's not the point. But I do agree with you. It could have been something Herb Dean had factored in his head, definitely.
Look, I mean, there is absolutely no doubt about it as far as I'm concerned. Your ability to eat a shot has a lot to do with that weight cut and the trauma you're putting your brain through.
Exactly.
And You know, I feel like she'll be served better by making some changes, whatever they might be, whether that's moving up or
nutrition.
But more than anything, it is a terrible look for MMA to have these fighters, these main event fighters, shaking and not being able to move on the scales. Come on, guys. This is a terrible look for the sport. You know, I don't know how she gets cleared after that. I honestly don't know how any... How does any doctor stand over that? Like, the girl, like, 24 hours before she fights, can't lift her arms, and she's going to have to fight one of the best punchers in the division?
Yeah, very very interesting. The UFC doctors, whatever their judgment was there, I can't really understand as well. We've seen it happen, listen, more than once. It's not the first time it's happened in terms of weight cuts, and we've seen guys walking the scales that, you know, clearly shouldn't be fighting 24 hours later when they can hardly actually stand on the scales and their teammates on it. It's absolutely batshit crazy. Listen, we can go on about the weight cuts, you know, as much as we want, but we've always said, I think it's going to have to, unfortunately, something drastic is going to have to happen.
Have to die.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, ONE FC addressed it.
Have they though? Because they've given no transparency as to what that situation is. No fighters can give us any information on it. No fighters are allowed to see another fighter weighing in.
Waller are a bit full of shit with their whole product.
Yeah, that's what I'm
anyway,
saying. Like, I mean, I'd love to believe it, but show me it. Be transparent.
I agree with that.
But look, we both agree that the stoppage was early. We both agree that Aspen Ladd needs to make some changes in terms of getting down to that weight. But you know, something you said to me beforehand about a rematch, I don't see a rematch in this situation. Like, I mean, I know, as you can see, the stoppage is going, but like, Ben Askren and Robbie Lawler gets played through.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make sense for Jermaine.
Yeah, I mean, Jermaine's 34 years of age. He's on a 5-fight win streak.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't think that makes sense, you know?
No, and it doesn't.
And I don't think Aspen Ladd should be rushing back. I know, even though you know, obviously she wasn't out, look at her body.
I think get yourself in shape.
Have a serious conversation about what you're going to do
about your nutrition. Possibly that's an issue, I don't know. Maybe see Mr. Lockhart, seems to be do a great job. Everyone has nothing with the fighters we know.
He'll tell you if you need to move up.
Yeah,
he'll tell you plain as day.
Exactly. And I think there could be a little bit more done in terms of Aspen's her weight cutting by the looks of it, because she always seems absolutely all over the place on weighing day. So yeah, it's a big issue, a big concern, and it's going to be very interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, take a bit of time off, chill out, make a decision, speak with your nutritionist, your coach and staff, everything like that, yeah.
Uriah Faber is an American hero.
He is an American hero, yeah.
That was absolutely...
I saw a couple of people question the stoppage as well.
I did. I guess when the main event happens after it, the issues kind of go away pretty quickly.
That is true.
I thought it was fair enough. And Ricky Simone, I think after the fact, he thinks it's fair enough. But... You know, Uriah didn't look like it was going to go his way. I know it's a very quick fight. It's only 40 seconds, but I saw him eat that low calf kick.
Yeah,
I think it was.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, man.
Boom. Low calf kick, and he got a crack. I think he got a straight left or a jab to the jaw as well. He went, and then he just, boom. And he just turned
pop
it around.
Pop goes the weasel.
There you go. There you have it. You know, it's, you know,
I doubted him.
So did I, man. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you and say I didn't doubt him either. You know, Ricky Simone is a very, very good, talented fighter, and I agree with Uriah. I think this guy is going to be one to watch in the coming years, and that's an invaluable learning experience for a young lad to go out and face a guy like Uriah Faber. And obviously, you know, it only did last 40 seconds, but that will stand to him in the long run, I guarantee
it. An unbelievable
it'll make
punch,
him a fighter fair. It was, and
like, I mean, we haven't seen Faber do that in a long time,
and he credited his young Chinese protege as well,
Yidong Song
as well, so for teaching him that shot. So
Is it Song Yidong or Yidong Song?
Song Yidong.
Oh, Song Yidong.
And listen, phenomenal stuff from the Cali kid. Great to see him back. You know,
Let's ease it off with the title shots.
I think there's a bit of heat there, though. I like it. I do. I don't mind it too much because, you know, Uriah, you're what age? What's he, 40? So, you know, Henry's what, 27, 28, whatever age Henry is, maybe a little bit older. It's, you know, fuck it. Why not do it? Why not? Why not?
I'm not really interested, but fair enough. Like, where else does he go? I guess when you're Uriah Faber, you're looking to go in, make a statement, and get the biggest fight available.
Yeah, definitely,
so
definitely.
Can't argue with it. Yeah. Josh Emmett got a big win over Mirsad Bektic. This guy, I thought he was done. I've said it so many times. After the Jeremy Stephens fight, his face was completely destroyed.
Yeah.
I thought it was game over.
This guy's a fucking warrior, man.
You know, Mirsad wasn't having the worst of fights, to be honest. Like, I mean, I thought Josh was definitely winning, but I didn't feel as though Bektic was out until he was obviously out.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a rough one for Merced. This is a guy who has been waiting for an opportunity like this. Obviously, injuries have just been destroying his momentum, really, you know.
That's
he's obviously
the
moved from ATT to TriStar as well.
To be honest with you, I don't like that move.
Do you not know?
I don't think that James
suits ATT him. Are flying at the moment.
You know, I don't think... you know, I'd love to see him somewhere really sort of working and striking because we know how good his grappling is. You know, I'd love to see him, you know...
He was working with Raymond Daniels for a while.
Yeah. He was up... Yeah, Raymond works a bit with the guys up in TriStar as well. But I'd love to see him go somewhere AKA and really... Or Henry Hooft or someone like that and really get the hands going.
Because he can bang. Like, he definitely has power
in his hands. But, yeah, he just looks a bit sloppy at times in his stand-up. And, listen, such a talented guy again.
Emmett's a fantastic talent, though, as well. Like, yeah. I mean, Jesus.
I remember, we were at his debut in Sweden. I think it was the UFC Rotterdam card, and he was called in as a late replacement.
Yes, yeah.
And he's just got so good ever since then, man. And I remember speaking to, I think it was Danny Castillo or someone who was in his corner, or maybe Justin Buchholz at the time, and just said, man, you got to watch out for this kid in the coming years. He's one of the best guys we have in Team Alpha Male. And he's proved that. He really has. I took that with a pinch of salt at the time, as you do a lot of the time with coaches. But look what he's done, man. He's just got better and better every fight. He's learned from his losses, come back from that horrific knockout as well.
Absolutely.
And just really put on. Like he's nearly there for a title shot.
Yeah. Carl Robertson got a split decision win over Wellington Tourman. And Marvin Vettori roars back into action with a very one-sided, I felt, decision win over Cesar Ferreira. You know, he didn't manage to put Muchanch away, but he certainly had him on... at the ice rink there for a few occasions. So great return to action for Marvin. And another prospect from Europe, I must say, for middleweight, he looks very good.
Starving Marvin got his dinner.
Man, there's nothing starving about that, man. John Allen got a decision win over Mike Rodriguez. Pretty entertaining fight there. Plenty of action.
The Brazilian, John Allen. What a name.
Andre Feely, man, this was an unbelievable performance. Roy Hook to ground and pound against Shaman Moraes. You know, I thought he was unbelievable, man, to be honest. He's looking better and better, and he's hit a new vintage as far as I'm concerned. Juliana Pena beats Nico Montano at their bantamweight fight. Obviously, the former flyweight contender getting back to action
with
a loss.
That was a weird fight.
Yeah, it wasn't enjoyable.
Weird.
Ryan Hall was unbelievable. Ryan Hall entertained the shit out of me.
My most favorite fight of the night.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Ryan is he's so good on the ground. You don't want to get close to him, but he also doesn't allow you to get close to him because he's coming in with his hands down, swinging legs like a lunatic now. Like, he looks like Bleeding Stylebender in there.
He does.
But he looks like an accomplished striker. Like, it doesn't look like a jiu-jitsu guy doing striking.
He looks like Stephen Wonderboy Thompson with the karate stance. Like, I'm not taking the piss.
Beautiful wheel kick, man, halfway through. Really, really impressive.
In fairness, though, I will say some of the, you know, the spinning attacks with his hands were a bit sloppy. Work on there. The kicks were phenomenal.
Just the ringmanship. I find him so entertaining to watch.
He's
like,
brilliant.
He has a very unique persona in there.
He does, man. Listen, that guy can go places. If you have a grand game like him, no one wants to get him. That's why he has me fighting.
I used to get his DVDs off me coach when we were just in jiu-jitsu because he used to be like, he's a guy that's gone through different. Like, he's been a master of so many techniques in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Like, I can remember
leg locks, everything.
Yeah, I know, but. He had triangles at the start, where his thing.
Sure, lucky he nearly sold him out with a triangle.
Then he went to the 50-50 guard, obviously, with the leg locks and Imanari rolls, all that stuff. Just so exciting. He's just brilliant. A mad box of tricks.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
Really, really good. Jonathan Martinez got a beautiful knee knockout of Liu there in the fight pass prelims. I didn't get to see these bad boys. Brianna Van Buren.
Brilliant. That knee was brilliant, man.
Yeah, I saw the knee.
Really good fight, and I really enjoyed that one.
I saw
it
on tweet Brianna Van Buren got a decision win over Livia Renata Souza, and Benito Lopez got a win over Vince Morales. One of the things that's coming out of this card, we talked about Jermaine, we've talked about Uriah. One of the things that a lot of people are talking about is the reemergence of Team Alpha Male.
Yeah. I mean,
Josh Emmett, Uriah Faber.
Feely.
Like, and I believe Benito Lopez is another guy that's on the team. They had two losses on the night as well. Darren Elkins and the other one is escaping me at the moment. But it was, you know, for a long time, I feel like people were saying it's all over for Team Alpha Male. You know what I mean? Like, and it certainly isn't.
Yeah, it's definitely not. The pool of talent is still there. But I think it's been in terms of there's been a high turnover of coaches. Like, you know.
Transition is, yeah, there's been a big transitional phase there.
There's been a few arguments here and there as far as I'm aware. You know, obviously, Justin Buchholz left the gym. He's, you know. Obviously, TJ as well, that whole issue. That unsettled a few people, I think, there. And it seems to have blown over a little bit since TJ and Justin Buchholz have gone. And it is interesting. They've re-emerged. They've regrouped, obviously. And, it's exciting times. And with Uriah back in there as well, I think maybe might take a little bit of the pressure that was in the gym off now that he's got back in the cage.
Absolutely, absolutely. Moving on to Bellator 224 on Friday night. As we said at the top of the show, we had Julia Budd beat Olga Rubin from Israel in the main event. First round knockout, body kick, and finisher on the ground. Lovely, lovely bit of stuff there. I guess from a European perspective, it was the three SBG fighters that were on the card that garnered the most amount of interest. We'll start with Kiefer Crosby, the first loss of his career in unfortunate terms, man.
Listen.
He looked like he was on the verge of finishing the guy when this happened, which is probably the most bitter pill to swallow.
It doesn't do anything to diminish his stock.
Everybody
whatsoever.
Knows that's not a real loss.
Yeah, like, of course.
It's not.
So he's going to regroup. He's obviously going to look at the Dublin card. We're going to see what happens there. He's going to get in there and try and make a statement. Again, you know, it is frustrating for us as well watching on, because I think that it was a bit of a step up, but you want to see substantial now.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of someone we know.
We'll talk about that in a second. Moving on to Sinead Kavanagh and Leslie Smith. I had the fight scored for Sinead. I know a lot of Irish people did online, a lot of people calling Hobbery. Leslie Smith got the win in the end on the judges' scorecards, a majority decision. Sinead looked brilliant. Sinead looked absolutely brilliant in that fight.
She did. I think Leslie landed a lot though as well, maybe. Are we?
Yeah, no, I was going to talk about that. You see, when I was watching it, I was seeing the outrage online, and I'm very conscious of that I'm Irish.
These
moments, let's just clear our heads prevail here. I felt like Sinead won it, but I was very conscious of not getting online and jumping up and down about it. I contacted three judges the next day just to ask them how they scored it, and they saw the argument for Leslie. So straight away, that's for me.
I had it Leslie.
Did you have it for Leslie?
Yeah, I tweeted that.
But that's just the way I think I need to be, because I think a lot of times Irish MMA guys have been, all of us media guys, have been thrown under the bus for being too biased towards Irish, etc. So I just wanted to check it out. I didn't want to go full haul, because even if we can't even feel it, we do have a bond with these people because we're from the same country. You know what I mean?
I do understand that. And I think, you know, over the years, we've had a lot of shit thrown our way, as you said. And
yeah, that's why I'm so conscious of it. Yeah. You know, like,
we've been the first ones, in fairness to us, that have shot in our Irish fighters if they've done anything wrong. Even though a lot of people don't seem to see that. But anyway, that's a different fucking argument for a different day. Yeah. But listen, I scored it for Leslie. I just thought, she just seemed to land more. Sinead was on the back foot quite a bit. There was a good bit of octagon control
off the back foot. What I tweeted after was, I thought Sinead won, but she gave, what an account she gave herself. On the back foot, as you said, but she was landing, she was able to, her jab straight was fantastic. She landed some beautiful body shots, but as you said, Leslie was marching forward. I can remember, when I think about it, the second round in particular, I can remember Leslie was chewing up her leg a bit. There was a bit more going on. I think I had it, being very critical, hypercritical. I had it rounds 1 and 3 to Sinead, and the second maybe to Leslie. I'm not very sure.
Yeah.
Do you know which way you scored it round
to
round?
No, I couldn't tell you what.
You just thought it was Leslie's fight?
I thought it was Leslie's fight from watching it, definitely, yeah.
Did you see Sinead's post the next day?
No.
It was to the point. I think I need to pull this up.
Because they got very heated in the weigh-ins as well. If you don't know if you saw the weigh-ins, there was a lot of fucking shit talk back and forth.
Two game, run it again.
Like, they could do that in Dublin, man. I'd love to see Leslie Smith over here.
Oh, stop.
Against Sinead Kavanagh. It'd be a fantastic fight. And I'd be well up if Sinead was on for running that up on Leslie Smith. That would be an unbelievable addition to the Dublin card. So, listen, why not? If there's a bit of beef to settle, throw down in Dublin.
Yeah, and we could do with a name like Leslie coming over here. But I just wanted to say, which could deflate that situation a little bit. Sinead put a big post up the next day of her hand. It looks like it's very swollen. The caption that goes with it: Bellator Europe, thank you for letting me punch the head off the nastiest bitch I ever came across, Leslie Smith. Enjoy my money, you cunt.
Oh my God.
That is
Jesus. That's
Christ.
That is
whoa.
All right. I didn't know it was that heated, eh?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And listen. I'm just quoting verbatim. I never use that word, by the way, of course.
See you next Tuesday. Listen, run it back in Dublin. If her hand's good, let's do it.
Yeah, I'd love to
let's
see
do it.
I know that
Colford fans, you're the ones you want it.
That would be a great fight. If our hand is in good shape, have a look at the picture there. It doesn't look 100% to be honest, but I'd love to see it. And I know the fans would love to see it as well. Definitely. And it was a good fight. Like, I mean,
it was action packed and it was exciting.
They were bearing down. Like, I mean, Leslie was just bearing down on her and Sinead, I thought, like, after the first round, I thought Sinead won and I was like, I just don't know if she can keep up this pace, but she did. She stayed in the action the whole way through it.
Her cardio seemed to have gone up to another level.
Yeah.
It's something but
one thing she needs to sort out is the missing weight. You can't be missing weight.
Yeah, big time.
At featherweight, you can't be missing weight. You know, like it's becoming a thing. Which Sinead now, where people are talking about
for
an
a
awful
while.
Lot, like, you know, and I feel like that's going to be an issue unless they get it sorted out. But a fantastic display again. I was really, really impressed with her. Will Fleury had the biggest win of the night, I felt. Huge, huge test in Doomsday Jones, a man who's been drafted into the Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. Will was magic on the ground. I mean,
very good.
He was doing intricate shit. Like, you'll see jiu-jitsu guys in the gi doing. No, but like, I mean.
I know what you mean.
He's wrapping up the legs after he takes half guard. He's going back to destabilize the guy's base by putting his knees in between his two legs. Lovely stuff that jiu-jitsu people lose their minds about. You know what I mean? There was lots of little details like that. He was nearly immediately taking side control because of that great position he had with the weaving of the legs.
Is it fair to say Will is the one who's probably, you know, at the moment when we're looking on at fighters in terms of who are we looking for to maybe get there and get onto that level in terms
of the
what
US level
in terms of you know, building up a record in terms of, you know, he's constantly making an adjustment and a step up in level, and he's called for that again today. I don't know how, you know,
Joe Schilling
he's called out today.
But I mean, if you look at that fight, that would be the exact way you'd fight Joe Schilling if
just
you
get
could
him down the break,
because
deck and,
like, I mean,
neutralize him.
Like, I haven't heard anyone complain about how exciting it was or anything like that, but, you know, usually casual fans are giving out about that. But that is a masterful performance, because he knows Antonio Jones' only chance really of catching him is with a big overhand.
Yeah.
Big overhand right, man. He's doomsday for a reason, and Will just never
let
really gave
the
opportunity.
I totally agree with you.
It was masterful, and I'd love the Joe Schilling fight in Dublin. I'd absolutely love it. It's a big name to get in the Dublin card as well.
Massive name.
Might even have a few Diazes in the house if that went down.
Imagine that.
And Leslie Smith may as well come along for the journey.
Diaz versus fucking SBG again, run it back.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. And, you know, Will is a guy who's gaining a lot of momentum very quickly. Like, I mean, he really put himself out there before this fight. He'd done our show, of course.
Yeah.
And he did Paddy Hoolan's No Shame podcast. And I think that's really allowed people to see what he's all about. You know, this is what this guy is. This is guy what he wants. So Will's calling for Joe Schilling. Sinead, I want that rematch. I'd love to see that fight. We'll have that again. And Kiefer Crosby made some very interesting comments beforehand about Miles Price from Team Rhino.
Yeah, he did.
You know, I didn't see the post, but I think Miles had called Kiefer out based on what he told us. Miles on the show this week, based on what he told us, he had put out an Instagram post or something to that effect, and Kiefer saw it. And basically, when MMA Junkie came to him and said, "Who do you want to fight?"
Yeah, he's Kiefer.
Like, you know, Miles Price, basically.
Yeah.
I love that fight.
I do. I like it. And I think there's obviously that.
Kiefer's huge. Like, Kiefer's big business. Whether you know, I think our thing with Kiefer is we want to see him fight a good, you
better,
know, a good
better level of opponents.
Obviously, Mike Jackson this weekend had an even record against him. And, you know, Kiefer is a guy that we, like, everybody's really getting excited about. Like, I mean, he looks the business. He looks like he knows how to deal with the spotlight. He has a lot of pressure on him when it comes to these Dublin shows,
because
so many people are kind of seeing him as the next thing, next big thing. We have Moyles coming off the defeat of Peter Queeley, his teammate. Kiefer is on his way down to lightweight. I think it's just...
there's a massive narrative.
Yeah, and I feel as though if Kiefer got through Moyles, everybody, go and lose your mind. Yeah. Get excited about this guy, because that is a huge scalp. And for Moyles, he's taking all the momentum from a guy who Bellator are clearly getting the brand behind, are clearly putting a lot of social behind, and is clearly reverberating with the fan base on a big level. I really like it.
I love it. I think we need more fights of that on the Dublin card.
Like, people are saying, like, let's do a rematch. Like, I saw loads of people, let's do a rematch with Mike Jackson and Kiefer Crosby. Like, do you really need to know what has to happen there?
No.
Listen, Kiefer was going to finish him his face into the ground.
Unnecessary. We don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. We need something, I think, on this Dublin card that's going to pull a lot of interest. The more eyes on this card, the better. And I think that is the fight that's going to get people interested. It's going to be a lot like Peter Queeley and Price.
Kiefer is not afraid to talk some shit.
And I think
neither is Miles.
I think, and I think we'll get better shit talk with Kiefer because, you know, Peter, to a certain extent, he does talk shit, but he's a little bit more reserved.
Doesn't get himself out there, maybe.
Doesn't get himself there as Kiefer. Kiefer loves to talk and he's a bit of banter about him. Good following. Like, that would be a tremendous. Imagine the atmosphere in the arena.
And it's a
that
different
night.
Fight as well because Kiefer is just, let's go. Like, we're coming in and we are banging. And
look at the audience Kiefer brings in. He lives around the corner from the arena. He's bringing like hundreds of people in there. You know, Miles brings a good crew. So, yeah, man.
This is the one that you get. The last time they had Queeley and Miles, and I felt that really, really reverberated with the old school, even the old school Irish MMA, that maybe even some of the Dublin cards who had been there over the last few years hadn't catered to. This one caters to them. It's new school versus the old school.
Maybe Bellator don't want to do that yet, but like I hope they do. But maybe they want to keep them away from each other and, you know, sell them as separate entities because they are two of the Irish guys that we're looking at going, Jesus, you know, these guys...
Yeah,
are good fucking solid fighters. They've been around the scene for a long, long time. We know them. They might have different paths. I hope they don't, but that's the way they could be looking at it.
Yeah. So I tried to get Kiefer on. You can understand, coming off his first loss, he probably didn't want to have a chat, even though I don't think it's a loss.
Yeah.
My idea was to have Kiefer on the show and Miles on the show and them going crazy at each other. But
it's better off when you have a loss anyway in your career.
Yeah, yeah. Get that pressure off you. Paddy Hewlett, I'll never forget when he lost his first fight on his official record. I know he had lost in Tough before. He was kind of like to me, do you know what? It's just great not having to answer the same question. Like, what's it like being undefeated? What's it like?
Unbeaten.
Blah, blah, blah.
Unbeaten.
He actually felt... Like, I mean, everyone's going to lose an MMA. That's the way it is, basically. You know? So, we caught up with Miles, who's in San Jose.
I never lost an MMA.
No, that's a true story. But he is preparing an AKA at the moment. He's getting some good rounds in with Khabib Nurmagomedov. And he had some comments to make. Turns out he actually regrets calling Kiefer out. This is a very interesting interview because I felt like he was telling me, no, I don't want that fight. But the more he talked, I was like, hang on, Miles. I really want to see this fight now. So I don't know if he's using reverse psychology, a bit of Chael Sonnen action on
Miles
me.
Miles is a smart guy when he's on the mic. He is. He knows what he's doing.
My brain was in knots at the end of this. I was... You'll even hear it.
He was on a bit of Bando Henderson as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, but that's what he said. He said that was a possibility.
Yeah, fucking hell.
After he's called out Kiefer, Bando was suddenly a possibility.
You see, that's the thing that could be in his mind now.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, listen.
This will, in my opinion, you'll hear me. We talk it out. Right. But I feel as though Kiefer and Miles is a fight that reverberates with the Irish fan base and casual fans that just are following guys like Kiefer, who is bringing a new fan base into the sport. It would be a huge one for Miles. And another kind of storyline with the whole SBG thing. I'd love it.
Dude.
So let's talk to Miles. Miles in fantastic form. He was only back from a 2-day meditation trip. So we had a lot to talk about, would you believe? So we'll talk to you about 15. I thought this was fairly juicy. And now, as promised, we are joined by Miles Price. Some may call him Magic, some may call him Splinter, but he is here on the phone from San Jose. Miles Price, how are you, sir?
Hey, Pedicy, how's it going, bro? It's great to be on again, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, as always, you're a fan favorite now on the show, so why won't we have you on? But, I mean, a lot of people have been wondering about what's going on with you on this Dublin card. We've seen a lot of fight announcements, none with you so far. And then we see a call-out pop up over the weekend. And I just wanted to know, first of all, any news regarding Dublin so far?
I'll be honest with you. It's kind of been a little bit mad, the situation with the Dublin card for me at the moment. First off, I got offered Ryan Roddy, and you know, on the prelims, you know, and it just didn't really motivate me, that fight, to be honest with you. No disrespect to Ryan Roddy. He's actually I trained with him over in Newcastle before. He's a very good fighter, and he's a great guy too. He's a top guy, but it's a pretty big step down, kind of from my last fight, you know. When I'm 31 years of age, I'm getting on now in fighter respect, you know what I mean? Like, I have about another 5-6 years left of me. So I don't really want to be taking a step down like that. especially when Queeley got a big fight against Scope, you know, it's very much so a win-win situation for him, that fight. You know, it's coming off a loss, main card, great fighter. Ryan's a very good fighter, Ryan Scope. And and from what I was told, it was the only fight they could give me as well. So I was like, you know, I got a little bit flustered by that, if I was being honest with you, especially after winning the co-main event against, and Peter's a top level athlete, you know, he's beaten a lot of really great guys, and he's full-time athlete himself, and I pretty much generated a lot of noise about that fight, you know, and I called him out and I got that fight, you know. So I was like, after making all that noise and winning the co-main event, I was like, you know, it just doesn't really motivate me that. So I went on Instagram, and it's kind of out of my character, to be honest with you, to go on, you know, calling every Tom, Dick and Harry out. But it is the fight game, and it's the only thing that really does kind of get people talking, like, yeah, is doing something like that. So you have to kind of act a little bit out of character sometimes. And I called out Pedro Carvalho, and that fight does actually interest me, you know, because he beat a really great guy in Derek Campos in the co-main event of the Birmingham card, I think. So I was like, you know what, that's a great fight. And he's doing really, really well lately. Similar kind of experience and record to Queeley, coming off a win. And I said, you know, who else, like, you know, would interest me and is more than likely going to be available on the SBG roster? Because, like, you know, it's just, they're a great team and they have a lot of good fighters. So I said, I was hesitant in even posting up about Kiefer, but he's the only other guy really, like, outside of that. And I was hesitant in the sense that he's not really, like, as big a name as Pedro or Peter, you know. And I was like, oh Jesus, you know what, I'll do it for the crack. They probably won't give me him because I'm too experienced for him. And it didn't really even, I think I posted that up because I was very much so, like, you know, a little bit flustered and frustrated about not getting a big fight on the main card. And you know, I got, and just moving on from that for 2 seconds, I got a fight again, offered a fight against Benson Henderson then.
Wow.
And I was like, I nearly hit the bleeding roof when I heard about that. I was running around my apartment and nearly jumped down me pajamas. I was like, Jesus, after winning the lottery, lads, let's go for points, fuck it, you know. And that didn't follow through, that fight, just for whatever reasons, like, you know. And didn't follow through on Benson's side. So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be on the card. It's hard to know what's going to be happening here now at the moment, to be honest with you.
Kiefer had a call out during the week. Well, no, he responded to your call out with MMA Junkie, and he kind of said, yeah, he would fight you, and he does recognize that it's a big step up in experience and a step up in caliber. I mean, that's a fight that a lot of Irish fans have kind of got behind as a fight they'd want to see now. Is that something that you would be open to now if that was offered to you?
I'll be honest with you, Pettisi. As much as I know the Irish fans want to see the fight, and you know, I just can't get. It doesn't make me feel like I want to get up and get up off the couch to do it. Like, you know, I know that I called the fecker out and I'm shooting myself in the foot by doing it, but it's the only option I had at the time. I didn't have any other options. And since then, I've been talking to a few guys, and we've been talking away to the guys at Bellator. And I'm possibly going to be getting a fight in Milan or Israel, you know. And it's just, I have to follow my gut at this stage of my career. I feel like that's a big... Of course, Kiefer's going to say yeah to that fight. It's a big step up for Kiefer to fight me after coming off the win of the co-main event at Bellator. And that's kind of what I want. That's the equivalent fight of what I want. I want to fight that, an experienced guy that really gets... If I win that, when I win that fight, because I would beat Kiefer. Like, skill-wise, I'm a lot better than him. And mentality-wise, I'm a lot better than him. Kiefer's an emotional fighter. And that will play well into the fight for me. Of course it will. Like, you know, I've never seen him compete against anyone without his emotions. And I always strive against guys like that, you know. Like, you can't
you can't waver me and my emotions in a fight. Like, you know, I'm going to be calm, cool and collected, and I'm going to get the job done any way I can, because sure, like, the whole of feckin' Ireland was against me in that last card, you know. They were hot, the whole place nearly erupted when I came out, you know, and I earned the respect of a lot of guys that night, and I loved the fans, like, regardless, you know, like that, like, I understood how they felt about my situation, obviously, at the time, but I feel like, after, especially after what, because I watched them last weekend, and I was kind of going by last weekend, I was like, you know, it's not getting me.
The Friday performance, that was, is the fact that his undefeated record has gone since then,
it really has for me, to be honest with you, for two reasons. One, 7-0, it does look a lot better for me. You know, he shows he has that experience against someone that is experienced then, because that guy, even though he was 13-10, like, you know, I have a rocky record, you know what I mean, but I fought a lot of experienced guys and I've never gotten demolished, like, you know, like, I've always gone in and put on the performance, like, you know. And that guy he fought, you know, that guy took him down three times in the space of like a minute and a half or whatever it was. If that was me, I would have taken him down, I would have held him down, and the fight would be finished. It's that simple. Because that's the level I've gone to now. I'm out here training with, and I'm out here now again in AKA.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm training with, like, the quality in training I'm getting now compared to last time is completely different. Like, last time, everybody thought I was a spy and I had to work my way in, do you know what I mean? Who the fuck is this dodgy Irish bloke coming in the gym during the McGregor Khabib camp? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? This lad has some cheek. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now it's like every time I'm in there, I'm getting quality training with Khabib. You know what I mean? And Brilliant. All the Dagestani lads and all these top level guys are just constantly working together all the time now, you know, and I'm in the black room sparring hard three times a week, you know. And I'm just I'm back here with the guys here, and I'm training like I never have before, and I'm mentally in the best place I have been before, and I have to respect how I feel. It was an impulsive thing, me calling out Kiefer on social media, because
you're going to regret it in hindsight. Like, you're just like,
I'll be honest with you, I do regret it, because it was a desperate thing I did under stress of not getting the fight that I felt like I deserved, you know, and I was so really looking forward to get on that card, but it needs to be against the right guy, you know.
Right, Miles, just let me play devil's advocate here for a second. I think this fight will go over really well with the fans. I think Kiefer's a guy who's garnered so much interest. Like, he has a big, huge following. He's a guy that's being pushed by Bellator. And really, that last weekend, that really wasn't a loss. We know what happened. That was unfortunate. But, you know, I feel like that's the kind of fight that generates a lot of interest, and it plays back into the Peter Queeley kind of storyline, you going against an SBG person again. I feel like for this market, it's a huge fight. For the Irish and UK market. That's my two cents on it.
I know it is. I can definitely see it from your point of view, Pettisi, and I'm still kind of a little bit up in the air about it. But, like, you know, I just saw a lot of unprofessionalism from Kiefer last weekend. You know, I saw a very unprofessional fighter kneeing a lad in the head on the floor. You know, that's an emotional athlete that just isn't well trained enough. You know, and I felt like that. You know, look.
People are going to listen to this and they're going to want it even more. You're aware of that, right?
Oh, fucking hell, of course, sir. Jesus Christ, sir. I'm shooting myself in the foot again, ain't I? I was talking about the post. Now I'm doing it again. Oh, Miles, will you?
But, you know, do you feel like that just it is, like, it's too much of a step up for him? Do you feel like you're risking everything, as in you should be the guy with the momentum coming off the Queeley loss, the Queeley win, and you think that, you know, you deserve a bigger opponent than him, basically, is the way you see it?
Well, very well said, Pettisi. That's exactly how I feel, and it's great to hear it. Like, that's kind of my point of view, like, you know, to be honest with you, I feel like that. Like, I'd like to be fighting the caliber of opponent that Queeley's fighting, and on that, like, you know, and it's not like, oh, Peter's getting in, I'm not, a boo-hoo, like, you know, it's like, you know, fair play to him, great, he's getting that fight, you know what I mean, like, fair play to Peter, like, you know, he's a great fighter, and and he puts a lot of work in and he deserves it. But like, you know, so do I, you know. And I'm not going to just jump straight into a fight because I made a hasty, irrational post on something because I didn't have any options at the time. Now I have a few options with Milan and Israel. So I'm not throwing it to one side. I'm not saying completely no, but I have to do a lot of thinking on it, you know, because it is something that I'm finding hard to get up off the couch, you know. Like, it's a big step up for Kiefer. It's not a massive step up for me. I'm sacrificing, like, personal life things, financial life things. I'm leaving my business behind. I'm leaving my family behind to be out here. And that's the sacrifice I'm making day in, day out, to beat someone a lot better than my last opponent again on another level. So it needs to be something that really gets me motivated, you know, to be honest with you. And that just doesn't for the time being. Marketing wise, fucking great fight. Me versus another SBG guy, you know. Mm. He's a bleeding head. He's a head case as well, isn't he? You know what I mean? He's not afraid.
He definitely will ham up the fight. Like, I feel like the two of you, you know, facing off and stuff, it would be electric. Just after seeing his interview, I feel like
that's
it would be crazy.
That's for sure, yeah.
Like, you see, I don't know if you're a genius salesman here and you're kind of you're using reverse psychology or something, because I want to see it even more. If you've come on here to try and tell us that it's not a good idea, I think everyone's going to feel the opposite way, to be honest. I feel like they're going to be shouting from the rooftops.
Yes. I can't do anything right for myself at all. Jesus Christ.
Well, look, yes. I got to ask you, just while we have you here, just, you know, are you happy to see Reds are getting a good quality opponent in Brandon Gertz? A lot of people very excited about that one. And
oh, Jesus, yeah. Yeah, oh, for sure. Like, you know, look, like, Reds deserves a fight like that. Like, you know what I mean? Reds has been around for a long, long time, and he's earned his shot, like a shot like that on the main card. That's the fight he should have gotten on the last Bellator card in Dublin. That's the type of fight he should have had then. And he should have been well ahead of me on the card, and he should have been on the main card. That's in my opinion, where Redzer should be. That's where he belongs. But, like, so do I, you know? And that's the kind of fight that I want, too.
Man, they'd have to put you and Kiefer on the main card. Come on.
Of course they're going to put me and Kiefer in the same
so
card.
But we all win.
It's the fight. It's the fight. The opponent that I'm like, you know, I know the shit talk's going to be like, you know, great, and it's marketing wise. Like, he's not. Do you know what I thought was hilarious as well? His interview on MMA Junkie, and he was like, Miles is a bitch. Oh, he talks some shit. And I was like, that's all that lad does is talk shit. SBG, me head. Fucking, he absolutely goes on and rants about everyone the whole time. I was like, I barely even said boo to you, and you're going on about it now.
Wow. Well, Miles, I think I've gotten everything that I wanted to know from this conversation anyway. I don't know quite how you feel about it, but I know how I feel about it. But it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you, as always, from San Jose.
Yeah, for sure. You too, Fantasy. It's great to have a chat with you again.
All the best. That was fantastic fun. I don't know what quite your objective is or what your non-objective is.
No, either do I. Don't ask me. Fucking hell. You got a lot of kind of what ifs and I don't know. But sure, look, I hope it gives you some sort of insight.
I think I asked three questions over those 15 minutes.
And I gave about 15 back answers.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, man. It's great to speak to you, as always. I'll speak to you soon again, hopefully.
You also, Pedersi. Chat to you soon. Have a great evening, bro.
And thank you very much to Mr. California himself, Miles Price.
That's San Jose
in California?
Yeah, it is.
All right, thank God. No, it is.
Yeah, I hope he would have felt the earthquake there as well a couple of weeks ago.
The earth move.
My nephew felt it. My nephew's in San Diego. He felt it.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say he's feeling plenty of things over there.
But Auntie Juan as well, the mad.
So what do you think? Kiefer, you're on the Kiefer thing after hearing that? I mean,
I am. I think it would be good for the card. I really do. I think, you know, a lot of people have been shitting on this card again, calling it a Bamator card. So yeah, I think I'd love to see Sinead added as well against Leslie Smith, if that's something that, you know, is possible, providing Sinead's hand isn't too badly injured. And I think, there's just a couple of fights there we need to really spice it up, I think. And I think that would be one for the fans on this side of the pond, this country. Kiefer, as you know, I know.
Generate so many headlines, man.
That's what I mean. That, you know, it'll put the traction there. You know, any numbers from the last card here in Dublin, Kiefer's numbers were through the roof. So yeah, definitely, I think it'd be a very, very smart move from the Bellator brass.
Well, this weekend it's finally happening. We've been calling for it for probably over a year, well over a year.
Oh yeah.
Talking Brawls days probably.
Oh yeah.
Leon Edwards is getting his shot at the top of the division, basically, against Rafael Dos Anjos in the main event in San Antonio, Texas this weekend. What do you think of this fight? I think it's probably, as Leon has been doing it, he's usually got the short straw in terms of the hardest fights. I felt that about Gunnar Nelson. I thought he was complete, like, difficult. We hadn't seen the re-emergence of Jorge Masvidal at this point. But Dos Anjos, it is a tough, tough task, I believe. I think that's a very tough fight. We've seen guys who are meant to walk through them and become the next big thing in the welterweight division. We saw it last time against Kevin Lee. We've seen this happen before. Is it going to happen to Leon Edwards?
I don't know.
It's very even, right? Like, it is a very even fight.
It is. I think the impressive thing about Leon, if we look at what he's done over his last seven or eight fights, the Kamaru Usman loss was a massive, massive learning curve for him.
7 fights ago.
He's just become so adaptable to every situation that the UFC put him in terms of the opposition he's fought. He's fought wrestlers, he's fought strikers, he's fought Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guys, he's fought, you know, hot prospects like Albert Tumanov, I think, in Rotterdam. And when we watched that fight, when he finished him, Albert was hot shit going in there. He's fought everything that's been put in his way and he's dealt with them. And I think, I am edging towards Leon in this fight. I think he's going to have enough tools in his locker and what he's learned over the last number of fights, as long as he keeps the head cool. And I think that's, you know, really, really important in this fight, to keep the head cool, because he might still feel that he's that chip on that shoulder that he wanted Jorge Masvidal. He's seen the pop from Masvidal over the last few weeks.
I like the chip on his shoulder. I think it's done him great justice, to be honest. Like, having that guy, like, why aren't you giving me the credit I deserve? Yeah. Why aren't you people? Like, straight after he beats Gunnar, he's on the mic, put some respect on my name, and we definitely have. Yeah. And one thing I will say is, I feel like Leon's grappling is completely underrated. Gunnar fight, I really feel that way. But I do feel as though Dos Anjos is the harder hitter. Like, he can hit hard. Yeah. He can come out and just start belting.
I think so. But if you look at every fight we see, even this cowboy fight, man, even, you know, his clinch work, everything, everywhere, he just looks so solid, so good. Yeah. I think he has the tools in his locker here to neutralize RDA somehow, whether it's, you know, taking him to the ground, maybe grappling him. I'm not sure what way he's going to look at this and try and attack this fight. I think that's the really fascinating part of this fight, to see how it actually pans out, to see what both guys sort of do. And I think the more interesting thing is what Leon's going to do, how he's going to deal with the adversity that's going to be thrown his way against RDA. I don't think there's any question about that. He's going to come under some pressure at some point in this fight. And I think that's the fascinating thing about it. And he must be looking on at fucking Jorge after Jorge punching him after an interview and just...
But look, put that on the slow burn.
Yeah.
Jorge's going nowhere. Like, I mean, he is hot shit at the moment. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like, as much as I wanted that Leon fight to be made, I feel like after the Askren win, you're like, that couldn't have happened against anyone else. He probably made the right move.
But that
fight is on the slow boil. I feel Leon and Jorge. And if Leon keeps winning, it's going to happen. That's basically the way it's going.
I don't know. I think Jorge is now possibly getting to a stage where he's just looking at, you know, he's calling McGregor now left and right. And
well, if you become the guy with the welterweight title, which Leon Edwards has always said was his goal.
Leon won't give a fuck.
Suddenly things open up to you, you know?
Definitely.
Alexei Oleinik looks to get back to winning ways after his loss.
But how do you see it going? I'm interested to know you're taking it.
I think it's going 5 rounds. I
think we'll see a decision as well, yeah.
I think Leon can do it. I definitely do. I feel like he's very savvy. Even when we're talking to Gunnar Nelson last week, he's like, you know, when he's in there, like, he's very tricky. He's like, you know, he's good everywhere. He knows, like, the Gunnar was kind of saying, I was setting traps for him where most people would just take it because they think they're going to be in an advantageous situation. He was knowing that I was setting the trap, which is an exceptional know-how when you're in against, like, a jiu-jitsu god like Gunnar is, you know what I mean? In Europe, he's top of the food chain. So I feel as though he has definitely got the savviness, but I feel like the wild cards in this are Dos Anjos' power. Like, if he can tag him early on, I think it changes the whole fight. But if Leon can be clever about it and keep himself safe for the first couple of rounds, I think he has the engine to take him through to the end, and I think he has the ringmanship to do it. It's just, will Dos Anjos come out firing from the first?
Yeah, no,
like we've seen against Alvarez. Alexei Oleinik looked to get back to winning ways against Walt Harris. He's obviously coming off the loss to Alistair Overeem in his last fight. So that's another one for you European guys to take a look out for. Greg Hardy faces the toughest challenge of his life to date against 5-1 Juan Adams. I've seen Juan fight a good few times. I'm comfortable to say that he is the toughest test of Greg Hardy's career, but maybe not the toughest test that's out there for Greg Hardy.
Well, listen, give Hardy a bit of credit. He was, he did what he could in the last fight, and I think technically he looked a lot better than he did in his previous fight.
Okay, James Vick v Dan Hooker. I love that one.
Best fight in the card.
Yeah, it probably is, isn't it?
In terms of contest, hands down, the best fight in the card.
Hooker needs, they both, is Vic
they're both coming off a loss yet to
yeah.
Felder, yeah. So, really big fight for both lads there. Hooker coming off that loss to Edson Barbosa as well, where he just got bet around. It was a tough, tough fight. And, you know, it's a guy with such heart in Dan Hooker. But it's one of these fights where it's a big, big one for either guy. I think this is going to define a lot for James Vick if he loses that. And you would fancy Dan Hooker, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do as well.
To win this fight, I just think all round. I think we've seen a few holes in Vick's game over his last couple of fights that he's lost. Obviously, he got knocked out badly to Gaethje as well. I think if you get in the pocket, you land, you trade with him, he doesn't really want to know about it. I think Hooker will learn a lot as well about trading and standing in the pocket and banging with someone after what he did against them, Edson Barbosa.
He'll also have Eugene Behrman's full attention, because if you remember, when Dan Hooker fought,
He was at a wedding in Ireland, didn't he?
Yes, and it was also approaching Israel's fight with Kelvin Gastelum.
That's right.
So, I mean, I feel like Hooker will kind of have his undivided attention. Yeah. That mastermind, man. I think the guy's a genius, Behrman. I really do. I think he's probably still, he's one of the most underrated coaches in the world.
The interview with him and Israel, I think it was, sat down together, and I think it might have been Mark Raimondi when he was with MMA Fighting at the time, and it was just fascinating to sort of listen
to. Two complete opposites. Like, yeah, it's hard to believe that they're you know, on the same team. Yeah. Like, look, one is so inverted and one's so extroverted.
I often prefer talking to coaches than fighters to a certain extent, because you learn more about them, because they're looking on at sort of, you know, they're my little toy to a certain extent in terms of like a computer game. Often they're fighters sort of related like that. It's very interesting to see the diverse sort of thought process and between the fighter and the coach.
Yes, definitely. Alexander Hernandez will look to get back to winning ways against Francisco Trinaldo. That is a hard
Cowboys' his last loss.
Yeah, I think so. That is a hard out for Hernandez, man. We often talk about Trinaldo as one of the most difficult men to fight. And he'll make it horrible. We won't be having a good time.
That's a weird one for the UFC to make.
If Trinaldo's having a good time, nobody at home who's watching is. Have a look.
He's shithouse, but what a fighter, what a tough dude, Trinaldo. But man, that's a weird one for the UFC to make, I think. You know, Alex Hernandez, young guy, 21, 22 years of age, first loss against Cowboy, and then they're throwing him in against a guy who just like fucking ruins fights, in Francisco Trinaldo.
Yes.
That's not an easy night.
No, it's horrific.
It's not.
You're going to love to hear that.
He must have did something bad to the UFC brass.
Andre Arlovsky is going to be fighting.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, against Ben Rothwell.
That sounds like a Bellator fight, doesn't it?
That sounds like a knockout to me, to be honest.
It's a Bellator fight. It really is a Bellator
fight. So, Arlovsky is now last four fights, he hasn't got a win. His last win came against Stefan Struve in March 2018. Since then, he has lost to Toi Tuivasa, Shamil Abdurkhimov, a no contest, of course, against Walt Harris, and Augusto Sakai in his last fight. Now he's going in against Ben Rothwell. I'm going to favour Ben there.
Yeah, I'd favour Ben, definitely. I think Ben's boxing's better. He's just...
He hasn't got the muscle in the pocket, has he?
Yeah, he hasn't had the damage. But listen, Ben's lost two fights in a row as well. But it's not a really appealing fight for me in any sort of stretch of the imagination. I do fancy Ben Rothwell to get the win there, though, definitely.
That's all the European action on the fight. But there's a few decent ones to have a look out for. Just having a look further down the card here. Ray Borg versus undefeated Gabriel Silva. That's going to be a fight I'm really interested to watch. Always like watching Ray Borg fight. He's a very, very good competitor. But nothing really jumping out at me on the undercard. Raquel Pennington versus Irene Aldana.
Alex Caceres is always fun to watch anyway, regardless of the fight he's in.
Caceres, against Stephen Peterson. So that's all of that.
James Vick, Dan Hooker fight the night for me. Easy.
I think it's the one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Who steals all the headlines, though? Probably Greg Hardy, right? No matter what happens.
Yes. Well, he did play for the Cowboys, didn't he? So, it is in Texas.
He is a bleeding Cowboy.
Yeah, he is, certainly. But yeah, no, it's an interesting fight card. I think, you know, if hopefully, you know, if Leon can, you know, go
will
in
it finally
there
and get him the credit he deserves? Like, will people in the UK finally be getting behind him? Because,
well, no, I don't know. I think, you know, there may
sickens
be,
my arse,
maybe
to be
a lost cause in the UK at the moment. But I think on maybe a world stage, he won't really give a fuck if he's putting away someone like Desanias if he's not getting any love back home. But listen, if you're beating a guy like Desanias, if he goes out there and does something magical, and beats him within the five, I think you can't deny the guy anymore. Absolutely fantastic run that he's on. And yeah, I do think he's going to make it 8 in a row. But I do think it's going to be a decision.
I'd agree with that, to be honest with you. Right now, for our last interview of the day, ever since KSW 106 Night of Champions, I've been inundated with people asking me, what's going on with Nicholas Dalby? Is Nicholas Dalby medically cleared? Does he think he's going to get on the card? Do you think he's going to get on the card? Well, I've asked them all of it. A beautiful man is Nicholas Dalby. I'm happy to report that his face has healed up. The modelling career has not been put on hold. He will be back gracing magazine soon. But yeah, I just needed to pick his brain about that fight. One of the most amazing, outrageous fights I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was class.
At Night of Champions. I picked his brain on that. And it seems like he's in a kind of a Loch Nain situation himself. It seems like there's a lot of options afoot for Nicholas Dalby, which is great news.
Yeah.
But of course, we all want to see him on that Copenhagen card. I don't know if that's happening yet. I feel like he has something in his back pocket that he isn't quite telling us. But great to hear from him. Great to hear from him in great spirits. And great to hear that he has options on the table. And I'm very excited to see what his next move is. We'll be back in about 15. Always a pleasure to speak to Nick. Talk to you then. And now I am joined by a man that you've all been dying to hear from. A man who put on one of the fights of the year, in my opinion, in June at the Hammersmith Apollo. It is Nicholas Dalby, UFC veteran and Cage Warriors title holder at the moment. Nicholas, how are you getting on, my friend? I've been dying to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I'm feeling excellent. Thank you. You know, just after the fight, everything besides my face was feeling okay. And now when the face is healed up, everything is perfect.
That's amazing, man. And that was the real question that a lot of people wanted to know, because of the storyline of Cage Warriors Night of Champions was so much about you and getting back to that UFC Copenhagen card. And I guess after the fight, everybody was just worried, would you be medically cleared? And I know you told me after I appeared on Ariel Helwani's reporter show, we discussed the fight at length on the show, you said you were medically cleared. Is that the situation as you know it at the moment?
Well, I haven't been cleared yet, but all my injuries are healing up amazingly fast. So I will be able to be medically cleared, you know, on paper. But I'm feeling great already now.
I know a lot of people are big fans of that beautiful face of yours. Is it already, is it okay? Is everything still as it should be?
Yeah, I can send you over a picture later if you want to. But yeah, besides a small black eye under the black bruise on the left eye, everything looks as it usually does.
Right. Now, I got to ask.
For better or worse?
For better, I'm sure. Well, no, I don't want to say that. You're already a beautiful man, as we know. But I hope it hasn't affected the face. It sounds like everything will be brilliant, though. But I got to ask you, have you watched that fight since? Because I thought it was truly amazing. I haven't been able to stop speaking about it since that night. And as I said to a lot of people, I saw some of the most hardened men, women in MMA, who usually don't bat an eyelid. You know, nothing is outrageous for them, but everybody after the fight was wide-eyed going, oh my God, what have we just seen? I mean, what were your feelings if you have watched back the fight? How did you feel when you watched it?
Well, I have watched it. I watched it back a couple of times, and to be honest, I felt I looked a bit sloppy, technically. But I guess when some part of the game plan is to really push forward and walk your opponent down for the first round, you're going to run into some stuff, and that happened. But I definitely feel like and know that I can be better than I was in that fight. So that was what I was looking for when I watched it.
I mean, like, when you consider the way you fought after that big cut opened up, I thought it was amazing to see. It was almost like you felt as though, I need to get the job done now, and you came out firing. I mean, for the second and third round, you came out like a lion. Were you proud of the way you kind of fought through that adversity?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. As soon as I recognized that that cut was, you know, bleeding heavily, I knew that there could be a risk of the doctor stopping it. I knew it was on the temple, so it wouldn't be like,
going into your eyes.
Yeah. But you never know when you get a cut, especially one that's bleeding so much. So yeah, definitely had that sense of urgency. And again, the game plan was to kind of try and break Ross and like mentally. And I think that I succeeded in that.
Do you have a lot of respect for Ross after the fight? I mean, there was a lot of pre-fight trash talk, and I saw an incredible scene after the fight where you two guys are laughing and joking in the medical room after such a bloody war. It was a pretty unbelievable thing to see. I mean, did he earn your respect in that fight?
Absolutely. I felt like he got pushed, and he, you know, I was winning the fight, but he wasn't backing down. Like, it wasn't him who wanted the fight to end. So absolutely, I felt like he, if for nothing else, going back from this fight, I think he proved to himself, I think, that he has what it takes, you know, grit-wise. He has that grit, he has that heart to keep going.
As you said there, Nick, a lot of people saw you completely taking hold of the fight in the second and third rounds. Are you still okay with the outcome? I know I spoke to you on Sunday in London. I spoke to Mark Goddard, and he said he had spoke to you, and you both understood the situation. Are you still there? Are you still happy enough with Mark was doing best by you guys stopping the fight at that stage?
Well, one thing is how I feel about the result, and the one thing is how I feel about what Mark did.
Okay.
I have so much respect for Mark, and I totally agree with the decision he had to make. But as he also told me, you know, it was a decision he didn't want to make, but he had to. So the result, you know, yeah, had it been able to go the full three rounds, they could have gone to the scorecards.
Yes.
And I talked to some of the judges that were at the event, and they had me winning some of the rounds 10-8.
Yes.
So, you know, had it just been able to go on for maybe 20 seconds more, I could have gotten a TKO. Had it been able to go on for 2 minutes more, I would have gone. I would have won the decision. But the realities are as they are, and nobody can change that. So I just take pride and joy in the fact that everyone who's been watching the fight at least had me clearly winning it.
Mm.
So, you know, that helps a bit. But yeah, it was a weird outcome. Like, I of all the things I visualized and tried to picture for the fight, this wasn't one of them.
It's funny. I spoke to Mark afterwards on Saturday night, and then I spoke to him again at length on Monday. And he said, you know, up until this point, that vinyl surface has never cost Cage Warriors a big moment. Even though the fight ended up being a huge moment and talked about all around the world. The vinyl surface did cost them the completion of that fight, should we say, the fight being fought in its entirety. Do you believe after that happening, Cage Warriors have to have a look at this and change it if they can, at least?
Well, there's arguments for both, right? Because how long have Cage Warriors been putting on shows?
Yes.
20 years, something like that.
Mm. 17.
And this is the first time that they had the problem. So you could say, okay, if they can go 17 more years without having this problem again, then it might not be, you know, it might be okay. But on the contrary, you could say that if this might, you know, make them switch to a canvas instead. I don't know. You know, there's pros and cons. Whatever they do, I trust they do, you know, a well thought out decision. But I think, in a way, if we're talking about the fight result again, in a way, I think having the fight stopped due to too much blood might have created the bigger headlines than, you know.
Yes.
You know, if you look at it in the
spectacular
big picture,
yeah, it was spectacular.
Exactly,
you know?
Right? You know, this fight has been mentioned around the world because of the way it ended. And it might not have gotten the same attention if it, you know, if the fight was stopped after the third round, we went into the judges' scorecards. You know, wouldn't have created the same amount of of attention. So, you know, in a way, I'm happy.
Well, that is one hell of a balanced view, I'll tell you that much, Nicholas. A lot of fighters in your position maybe wouldn't be so understanding, but I credit you for that. I had Gunnar Nelson on the show last week, and Gunnar Nelson was the first fight announced for the UFC Copenhagen card. And he said at will that he believes that Nicholas Dalby deserves to be on that card after the war you put on with Houston. Because of your affinity with the Copenhagen fans, because of it being the first Copenhagen card, he believes that you are the perfect candidate. He believes you absolutely should be on. And he is joining a long list of people, long list of big names in the sport that have come out and have praised you and tried to get you on that card, use their voice to get you on that card. You recently tweeted that you got some good news, and I know you probably can't get into that, but do you believe that, given everything that's happened here, do you believe that fans will be happy when they find out this news?
Did I tweet that? I think I just tweeted that the future looks bright. But
sorry. That's okay. That's what you said. My fault. The future is bright. Is this future? Is this concerning your career?
That's just in general. that's as much as I can comment. No, I can't really go into details about, you know, what's coming up next. There's a lot of things that needs to be finalized and thought out. And you know, there was a call for a rematch against Ross.
Yes.
You know, there's several things that can play out still. And I'm just, my daughter's a bit upset. Sorry about that.
No problem. She's beautiful, by the way. Oh, my God. What a beautiful daughter. I got to meet her in London.
She's a bit hangry right now. Hungry and angry.
There's no problem. I get like that myself sometimes, Nicholas. There's no problem there on my end. But are you happy with your situation at the moment?
Well, you know, nothing has been finalized yet. And you know, there's still several ways my future could lead to. But again, as you could probably sense from the way I look at the result of the fight, you know, in the bigger picture, I've gained from this fight, I feel. So no matter what happens in the weeks or months, everything is going to be good. Everything's going to be okay. I have the best crew supporting me, around me. So, there's some things lining up I can't talk about. But, you know, let's just say it was a rematch against Ross. Nobody would be complaining about that, right?
Nobody would be complaining about that.
Yeah. But not saying that's what's going to happen. But, you know, that's probably the worst that could happen if that might not be using the right word or terms, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So everything's gonna be okay. You know, everything good comes to whoever, you know, keeps going at it. So, and I'm if anything, I think I've shown I'm pretty persistent. So.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'll just wait it out and see what comes. Everything's gonna be good.
It sounds like there are several options at play here, Nicholas. And I guess all I would ask is, of all these options, do you believe that Copenhagen is still an option, is still on the table, is still potentially something that could happen? I know, as you've said, there is a number of things that could happen here, but would you say that's still a possibility?
Well, I can say that it's not an option.
Okay.
It's still not an option. If that...
That's amazing. That's,
you know, I haven't had no... So,
and is that still your preference? I mean, out of everything that's going on at the moment, it sounds like there is a lot of things happening. Would that still be the best possible outcome for you?
Abso-fucking-lutely. sorry about the language.
I love it.
No, fuck yeah. Fighting in Copenhagen for the biggest show in my sport. You know, of course, that's what I'm aiming for. That would be incredible. I feel like the fans have been very outspoken about them wanting me to do it. So I hope that happens.
What's that been like, watching the fans, watching your fellow fighters come out in support of you? It must be a great feeling after putting everything out there, as we spoke about, leaving it all in there, to see the fans get behind you and see the fighters giving you the credit that you deserve. I mean, I know you've been here several times, but I mean, does it still feel as good as the first time when you see so many people getting behind you and saying, we want to see Nicholas on that card?
Absolutely. You know, having the fan support is incredible, but also having the support of fellow fighters, colleagues, means the world to me. And having Gunnar come out on the podcast and say that he feels I should be on the card, you know, that's a big pat on my shoulder, I feel, because he's a guy who's been in the sport for a long time, and he doesn't, you know, say that about everyone. You know,
absolutely
Gunnar, he's not the most outspoken guy. So for him to come out and say that, I really appreciate that. And I want to thank him for that, and all the other fighters that has you know, felt I should be on. It's incredible to hear and feel their support.
Well, Nicholas, I am so happy I got to speak to you today. I'm so happy that you're happy that the face is still in beautiful condition. And I'm happy that you have a lot of options on the table. I'm sure all of the people who listen to this podcast will be absolutely delighted for you and delighted to hear that news.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. You're such a good journalist. So always a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you so much. Well, it's guys like you talking to me that allows me to be in this position, so I reciprocate that, and I thank you again. It's been a pleasure to watch this journey unfold, and I really hope that we all get the outcome that we want.
Yeah, and once again, I would just want to give a shout out to all the fans and all the fighters that have come out to support me and watch all my fights, and just all the fans that follow the sport in general. You know, all of us fighters, we depend on the fans. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you to everyone who's supporting me directly and indirectly.
Nicholas, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day, my friend. Always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you, likewise.
Bye-bye, my friend. And that tops off our interviews for this week. Big thank you to Nicholas Dalby, and thank you, of course, to Miles Price and Jermaine Durandamy, who joined us earlier in the show. Yes, so just to wrap it up, Niall, are you aware that it is the 5-year anniversary of UFC Dublin on Friday?
I am aware.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's just 5 years ago, man.
Yeah, the time has gone like that. And obviously, you know, the other day we had the UFC 189.
Yeah, anniversaries.
Anniversary.
It's
going to
be rich with anniversaries over the next few years, because it's going to be the 5-year anniversary of that.
We're just
going to
milk everything because we've no fighters left in the UFC anymore.
I think after the 5-year anniversary of Alvarez v McGregor, I'm pretty much done in the industry. Nothing else to worry about.
if I make it that far.
Yeah.
But
it was actually a launch pad for all of us. The more I think about it, like, it was a whole... It wasn't just about McGregor. McGregor even made it about the Irish fighters that night. And we, in turn, with that journey that we all went on, then we actually got onto the world scene. You know, we were brought into these international landscapes and media. So I mean, it's a turning point for the whole scene, as far as I'm concerned.
I think so, and I think, you know, a lot of us here, you probably included, we sort of, you just had that feeling with Conor that he was going to do something special. There was always that inkling, and I think a lot of the,
and that was a night it confirmed. Like, I mean, we knew his knee was in a bad way still, and he went in and did that, and then really it was off to the races after that. Poirier, Seaver, and then onto a world title fight, obviously.
Yeah, it was a special moment for the sport, for everyone in it. And I think, you know, the people who stuck with it, we've seen some rewards. Obviously, we'd like more probably in this country. There's still been an awful, just an awful snobbery, I feel, towards the sport on a lot of...
Yeah, and it's weird when you think about that. The day after that, it was like the toast of the town, wasn't it? Like, apart from Ray Darcy having Carl Pendred on and calling him Connor
repeatedly.
And all of us losing our minds at home.
There still is that snobbery. I probably shouldn't get it. No, I won't get, listen, yeah, there is, but it's very frustrating trying to cover the sport in this country when, you know, a lot of the mainstream don't take it seriously. The shit in it, and that's been the for a country like Ireland. It's, I think it's so hypocritical as well in so many ways, so many facets, to do that. And listen,
well, this conversation has turned into something else.
It has, and you know, that's the frustrating thing. But on a world stage, I think we've been, you know, a lot more respected in terms of what we've done in this country. And yeah, listen, it has. It's changed our lives. It did really, because it was such a pivotal event. It was such a special event. And
we'll never be done again.
It'll never be done again. I don't think we'll ever have that feeling again, I think, either. I think, you know, it was, as you often refer to it, as the Italian 90, that sort of period. And it did. It felt like that. You know, every fight was just, wow. You know, as an Irish person in the UFC, this is a big, big deal for us. And it was at the time. And I think now, at the moment, you know, with the lack of shows, the sport in the country as well, is there's a little bit of... A little bit of a downturn from where it was, but hopefully that will change. And I think, you know, we're going to soldier on. I know we will, and I know the fighters will, because there's so much talent in this great little island. But yeah, it's been a fun journey, Petey.
So yeah, that's
what was your favorite event?
My favorite event I've ever covered.
189.
What?
Has to be 189 now.
Oh, well, in terms of the Irish support, some guy was trying to tell me that there was more Irish people at Mayweather than there was at that the other day.
Is he on acid?
He was like, oh, just take it from me, I was there, mate. And I was like, yeah, alright. Sound.
I was sitting in the fucking arena, you dope. There wasn't. Fuck me. There was like about 12.
He must have been locked.
There was about 12 empty.
Loads of plastic paddies, though. Like, that's the one thing people don't realise. There's lots of people dressed up as Irish people for the day at these events. And
definitely.
The one time, like, there was that period of Mendez, Aldo in particular, and then the first Diaz fight, probably, that I felt. It was even simmering off there towards the first Diaz fight, but Aldo and Mendez for me were Aldo the golden era of people traveling, like, you know.
The Mendez fight was unreal.
Yeah, yeah.
That was someone that always sticks out for me, and I think New York was special as well. I love that. New York, it was amazing. And there's been a lot of pivotal moments, but
Alvarez, my favorite event to cover.
I think so, yeah, because it was New York and you're away from Vegas.
And we got into some seedy shit in our time off.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
And Elaine was there.
We fucking had a bit of a wander of the streets one night, didn't I?
Yeah, we all did.
It was good. It was good. New York's a special place in my heart and I love it.
I think we might be banned, but we'll give it a go someday.
Yeah, I was back there for Brooklyn, so long too. I got back in. You'd be grand. But listen, anytime I go to an event these days, shit happens and... Hopefully that continues to be the case.
I believe there was some type of garrison game being played over the weekend that all the Southside were very excited about.
Oh, the cricket.
What is that sport?
It was England. They won it. I tuned in for five for about Ireland an hour. An Irish mum's captain.
So Ireland won the...
Yeah, yeah.
What was the trophy?
The World Cup.
So Ireland won the Cricket World Cup.
Well, an Irishman won the Cricket World Cup for England.
Well, congratulations to Ireland on the big result, man. That is unbelievable that we did that. We don't even play cricket over here, apart from in the North County Dublin, I believe.
We do. We've a test squad now.
We have a World Cup winning squad now, I think you'll find.
There you go.
Congratulations, Ireland. Wimbledon final, did you watch that?
I didn't.
I watched that.
I watched cricket instead.
Well, I watched the last set, the one that went on forever.
Yeah.
Well, then I watched the second half of the last hour.
I didn't even watch all the cricket. I watched the last hour. Like, I'm not going to fucking lie.
Come on, Ireland.
And but, say here.
Yeah, Wimbledon was pretty good
A lot of sport on. The British Open's on in Portrush in Ireland this week.
Oh, man, I was trying to get me dad tickets for that for his birthday. And it was like,
you ask me?
300 quid. And I was like, what the
fuck's sake.
Could you have got tickets?
Yeah, I could have if you asked me. Fuck's sake.
Can you get me tickets, though?
It's a bit late now. We're starting on fucking Thursday. But no, I can't wait for that, man. It's going to be great crack. I'll give you a few bets off. You're a great golf tipster. Yeah, I mean,
you really are. That's not bullshit. Good. You often text me the day of an event and go, do this. And then 2 days later, the guy wins the whole thing.
So I'll have them on to you tomorrow.
Good man. I'll send them on to my dad because I don't even know who those people are. Just one more thing. Brave24, do you see this talk of John Kavanagh wants Amir Khan to fight?
Can I just ask you a question? What is the story with the emails we're getting from the...
No idea, we're getting a lot of emails.
They're basically like... It's fucking weird is all I can say, right? They're basically emails.
It's definitely questionable.
Teasing fights that us... But sorry, we're fucking media. We don't... Like, do we not fucking do that shit? No. The PR team, it's awful weird, lads. It's very strange. It's different.
And it's invite only. Like, what is that?
That's like... If you're emailing us now, you must be inviting us. Like, you're stupid if you don't. But
I can't help but think that the Brave event in Northern Ireland, there was such a lack of people there and a lot of the tickets were comped. I'm kind of thinking, are you doing invite only so they don't have to explain why there's nobody in the crowd?
Yeah, I think it was the same. I think that was the same. Was that 2018?
Yeah,
I think so. I think it was the same weekend as
it was the night Darren Till got announced to fight Tyron Woodley, because I interviewed Darren.
All right, yeah. I don't know where it was. I don't know where it was.
Yeah, I have no idea. It was in the summer anyway.
Yeah, okay.
It's in Belfast or what?
But, it's weird.
But can I just ask you about the main piece of news that's coming out at the moment? John Kavanagh wants Amir Khan to fight Artem Lobov in a boxing match.
Should John not be more concerned about what's going on in MMA circles?
I don't know.
But what I think he should. That's annoying.
That's a wild one, isn't it?
it is wild. And yeah, just listen, I don't know what's going on here at the moment, but yeah, that's a very sort of, you know, why do we want to be seeing that shit? You know, I'm sick. No, honestly, though, I'm sick of that fucking garbage. These stupid fucking fights where, like, people just don't give a shit. Like, they really, I'm sick of this shite. Like, just listen, you're going to be a mixed martial artist, you're going to be a boxer, you're going to be a bare knuckle boxer. Let's just get some fucking segregation between these different sports and compete in fecking one of them, not 10 of them. And
Jesus.
Tease and everything. It's punishing. It really is punishing.
So no interest in America?
No interest in it whatsoever.
I'd probably watch it.
No.
I don't know if it's a great idea, but I'd probably watch it. I'm going to
listen, Mayweather McGregor killed all that for everyone.
But Artem beat Polly.
Okay, just go on. Move on. Fucking hell. Jesus but, Christ.
Yeah, that's pretty much all. Are you still watching Love Island now that your missus has been kicked off, or did you just...
I am. Like, why is no one pushed for him? I'm going on a fucking wedding this weekend, and no one has put out a fucking tweet saying, tagging your one Lucy Donnellan saying, Niall wants you to come to this wedding, and she can come to the fucking wedding.
Look at that. Look how generous he is.
For fuck's sake.
It's very easy,
beautiful
guys.
Spot as well, Virginia Lodges and Cavins. Lovely, lovely out spot.
Virginia Lodges in Cavan.
Imagine how cool that would be.
You and Lucy?
Yeah, imagine that.
Well, it'd be huge for her. I don't know if
Well, massive for her. I wouldn't mind at all. By her point again, she'd be happy.
That's it. That's it. A man who knows how to treat a lady. But
but no, it's no, I'm still watching.
Good, good. Who's going to win?
It's getting shit now.
Was it always not shit?
Yeah.
So it's just getting really...
Getting shitter. Yeah, yeah. Now, there's a bit of drama happening at the moment, but like, fucking listen, it is what it is.
Well, like, that's right now, are you missing Love Island to record this right now?
I always record it.
Oh, good, good.
I know, I hate... You see, but that's what I do with series. I always record them, so I don't fucking have to watch stupid ads. Just flick through the ads.
That's... Look, it's ingenious. He's aggressive with his remote control work.
Bar UFC.
He's aggressive with his opinions. And he's aggressive with his lovemaking. Thank Jesus you so much, Christ, everybody, for that. Tuning in again. It's episode 44. Freak. We're coming up on the big... How many weeks in a year? 56, is it?
Don't know.
You don't know? I think it's 56. I could be wrong. But that will be a year's worth of Eurobash.
And when? What's the date? The exact date?
I don't have a
clue.
It
was summertime, I know, because I remember it was very hot.
Oh,
when
yeah.
We were dealing with Siri, I was eating ice cream the first night.
It was like probably September, though. Loop was it the September?
No, it was August. It was either very hot September or it was August.
Yeah.
But it was good, though.
It was good.
I
was speaking to Siri recently. He's still a fantastic... He's actually he's getting involved in marathon runs now.
Is he?
Yeah. So there you go.
Is he still playing football?
I think he met a guy at the Aaron's Oil Football Club who was this guy who hops from country to country doing marathon runs, and that's what Siri's getting into.
Imagine
now.
Playing Siri in football. Holy
Imagine playing
God.
Siri in anything.
He'd be there like pulling your arm, stabbing you, and, kicking you, and doing the old... We used to call it, what was the old fucking Achilles... Scratch with the boot. That was a real annoying one.
I got a horrendous injury from that, actually.
I have a scar on me. Achilles from
it. Do you?
Yeah, but that's all we have for this week. And we'll be back next week. So everybody relax until then, and we'll have you sorted then.
I'll be extremely hungover, I reckon. I'll have a two-day hangover next week.
It's actually my birthday this week on Wednesday.
What age
are you? 32. Era. Joke.
32? Fuck, you can't help.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Like, I mean, imagine when you're 32. Like, that's years now. 4 years' time?
What, next year?
Next year you're 32. Yeah. I thought it was in 4 years.
No, next year.
I didn't even think you were 30.
No, I was 31, yeah.
It's amazing. That anti-aging moisturizer.
My mate's getting married, though. Poor bastard. I keep telling him, keep texting him, going, don't do it. There's always time to pull out. Look at the other lads. They're all pissed off their lives once they got married. Don't do it, Paul. Don't do it.
Don't do it, Paul. Well,
maybe get it annulled after the wedding.
Does she have a lot of money, though?
He's a lot of fucking money.
Well, then he wants to be very careful and get that prenup sorted. But, that's all we have. We better end this. It's getting late.
It is late.
I have sleeping to do. And there goes the sirens in South Dublin.
Oh, they're coming from...
Somebody must have spilled milk outside the shop or something.
Oh,
but, right, that's the end of it. We love yous loads.